The gospel reading is from the book of Luke, chapter number 17, verse number 11 to 29. And the word of God says like that, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lift up their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When we saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where were the 9? Was none found to return and give praise to God?" Expect this forgiveness. And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in a way that can be observed, not will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the king of God is in the midst of you." And he said to the disciple, The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go out or follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of Son of Man." They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriages until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out of Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. This is the word of God. Please be seated. It was always good and humble my heart to come back and preach the gospel with my own family. I always see you as my family, and we are all one body in Christ Jesus. So thanks to be God that he bring us together, that we can rejoice and sing and glorify his name, because he is worthy for all the glory. All the good things comes from heaven, and he bless us with all these wonderful things in our life. Amen. So today I'm going to sharing a message which is how to respond to God's blessings that you have seen, you have read so many times about this story which was taught by Jesus in Luke 17. And if you want to find the heritage, what it means, what Jesus was talking about, the leprosy, it was already addressed by Moses in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, it was the priest who observed them when they are going through with the disease. When they are going through with the leprosy, they have to stay out of their family, out of their villages, out of their towns, and they cannot come into the group where the disease is not there. So when you have that disease, you have to separate from your loved ones, from your family, and from your community, and especially you cannot enter into the synagogue, and you cannot worship the Lord. So that is really, really hurting for these things. So in Luke 17, we see that there is a one person who came back. There was 10 lepers, but only one person come back and give thanks. So thanksgiving is the attitude of the gratitude. So we should always be learning and giving ourselves unto the Lord to becoming with the thanksgiving of our hearts and bring that attitude towards us. If you see carefully, thanksgiving is two words, thanks and give. And though both means giving. If you say thanks, it's also mean giving. So it's you give, it's you say thanksgiving, it's two time givings to the Lord. So the Hebrew word, it's translated, it says hag hey ho da'i. So that is a Hebrew word of saying thank you. Appreciated. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me that opportunity that I can come and glorify your name. Thank you for giving the vocal that I can talk. Thank you for that you have given me 5 senses in my life. So all these should be that we should come into thanksgiving. In this story, the gospel telling us that story that these we find in this story two principles. Number one is obedient, and number two is gratitude. Jesus telling those 10 leproses or teaching them, go and show yourself to the priest. That's what was written in the Old Testament, that the high priest should observe your disease. So Jesus was already obedient to his Father, to the word that already spoken through God the Father to given to Moses at that time. And Jesus was obedient. And he says, you do the same thing. Obedient is the key. Gratitude is the key in this story that we read about the leprosy. So number one, obedient. Number two, the gratitude. So out of 10, only one came back and gave thanks to the Lord. And he sat beside the feet, and the scripture says he fell down on his face and he bowed on before Jesus Christ and he was praising that I was cleansed. And then suddenly Jesus asked him a question. Have not all 10 been cleansed? The man that came back was not even a Jew. He was not even a Jew, not a believer at that time, because Jews only get together and they go to the synagogue and they are allowed to worship. But Samaritans, they are not allowed to come and worship and spend time in synagogue. So what happened? The Jews think, I am so faithful. I don't have to go to the church. I don't have to go to the synagogue. I don't have to go to God and say him thanks. He knows my heart. He knows my desires. I can do anything and he can receive all these benefits. But, you know, that person, one person, and it's somebody says like that, from 100%, 90% did not came back to give thanks. So that's what our attitude and our gratitude is nowadays, that we don't even feel. We think all things are just granted. It's not granted. Somebody has paid, and Jesus has already paid at the cross, and he gave us his grace that we can come with his mercy and grace. We can come to the church and say something that, Lord, thank you through you that I am here. So look at this, what Paul says to the church of Romans, that Romans are thinking that we are so much in faith, we are so much close to God, we don't have to thankful. And what Paul writes to Romans, chapter 1, verse number 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorify him as God, nor give thanks to him, but their thinking become fluid, and their foolish heart were darkened. So that was warned by Paul to all the nations. When we think like Romans are thinking, oh, we don't have to thankful. We don't have the gratitude. We don't have to come with these kind of things. And Paul shared this gospel and these things to them, that we should be telling that. Again, Paul reminds these people to glorify God. Again and again, Paul was reminding through the scriptures, through his letters, through his epistles, that we should be thankful. So the question comes, how can we glorify God? So how can we glorify Lord? Let's learn something just from this Samaritan who came back and he showed his gratitude to Jesus Christ. And that's how we learned that we should be saying same thing before the Lord. We should kneel down, we should bow down, and we should say, Lord, I am not deserving this healing, but you are the one who healed me. You have mercy on me that I got cleansed from this disease. So just as the Samaritan leper came back with gratitude, the second principle is this, that give God credit for what he does. He always does. He says, I will go before you. I will going to bring to you. I will help you. I will lead you. I will give you all the desires of your heart if you obey my commandments. So it's always God the first, God the head, who comes and says, I will go. If you go into the Old Testament, Israel was the great nation at that time, and God chose them. And God said, I will go before you and prepare all the things for you. And Jesus said, when he was lifted up towards heaven, he says, all the authority has given to me, and I will give it to you. Whenever you go, the Holy Spirit will going to lead you. The angels will going to come and lead you. So remember that we are already surrounded by the Holy Spirit, by the angels, by the word of God. So he said, walk in faith and have obedience. Follow these instructions and come with the gratitude of the attitude. So we should be always, look at the, Paul writes to the Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. It says, but mark this, there will be a terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. So Paul has already warned the church that the time is coming that we will not think that we should become into the thanksgiving mode or into the gratitude. We shouldn't be doing like this. But Paul warns us that we should be teaching to our kids. Teaching should become into the church that we should be always come with the thanksgiving, thankful heart towards God. See what Jesus says about this in book of Matthew chapter number 18, verse number 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pennies. So, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. So Jesus was explaining that parable in Matthew 18, that I forgive what you owe to me, I give you. You owe a lot. But what happened when you come and forgive that somebody owes you? So that servant go back and caught him through the on the throat and says, pay me back all what I have. That's the human nature comes out from us. We don't want to forgive anybody. We don't want to give anybody that credit that God has blessed me so many things that I should just leave it alone because he cannot pay me back. So that's what Jesus was teaching about how we should be coming into the gratitude and how we should forgive others. Then that's what we repeat in our Lord's Prayer. We should forgive others as he forgives us as we forgive others. So let us look at some of the characteristics of the Bibles that shows the proper attitude of the gratitude. So the first things that comes in my mind that the greatest person on this earth who was close to God's heart, and he says, this is my friend, and he was the David. David was came to close to God's heart. And why he came close to the heart? Because he comes with the cheerful heart. He comes with the thankful heart. And he says in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, verse number 7, it says that that day David first appointed Asaph and his associate to give praise to the Lord. And in this manner, as we see our team members, they come first and they praise the Lord, and I appreciate that you set up the tone that we can come and sow the seed of the gospel towards our people. So it is a great time for David. David showed the gratitude that I have a heart to build a house for the Lord. So today God is looking a youngster, the person, the church members, that they have the heart to build the church, to go towards the church and start praising and worshiping. So David says, Father, I will going to do that, and I will going to build the house, and I will going to build the team, and they will going to glorify your name and glorify your you, because you are worthy for all that, all those things. Because David saw that God was living in the tents. So for 400 years, God did not have the house, since he was living in the tents. So David has a desire to build the house. So he comes with that gratitude. Look at this, 2 Chronicles chapter number 23, verse number 30. It says, they were all also to stand every morning to thanks and praise the Lord. They were to do the same in evening. So David set up the tone that how should be we should be giving thanks to the Lord in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. So every time when you get the time, you should say, oh Lord, thank you. Even Luther says, I get up early in the morning and I say thanks to the Lord that it's another day in my life. And when I go back to my bed and I say thank you that you have given me all the blessing and you have given me this time that I can have a rest. So that's Luther found it that it's a great news for in my life that I should be always thankful. So David says the same thing. Look at this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with the praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. David was so concerned about that. And he says, I want to thank God. I have a full heart. I don't care about what other people says. Sometimes, you know, he binds some kind of chains on and he brings them and he dances before the Lord. So he dances and he prays. If you go read the last Psalms of the David, he tells you that I dance before the Lord. I praise to the Lord. Even his wife become mad. Oh, you are the king of this earth and you are dancing like crazy. He says, I am standing before my heavenly Father and I am dancing and I am praising and I am saying that he belongs to that. All the thanksgiving and all those things were worthy for God. So look at another Psalm 30 verse number 12 says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and to be not to be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Forever I will going to. For the days of my life I will going to live. I'm going to glorify your name. I will going to thankful to you. You know, God has given us this season that we can praise him. We should thank him. Set the tone that the Savior has born and I am setting him. And I am thanking him that God loved so this world that he sent his only begotten son. That whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God showed the love. God gave everything to us and he gave his only begotten son that we can have life and life of abundance. And that's what God David learned. David came before Jesus 1,000 years before, and he learned that how should we show gratitude to our heavenly Father. So let looks the another character in the Bible. It's Jonah. If you go and read in Jonah has only 4 chapters and it has only 48 verses. And it's a great testimony of as a humanism and a great faith and a great hero of the Bible. Jonah says when he was in the belly of the fish, when he was surrounded with all those gases, when he was surrounded all those things, and he even cannot have a breath of a fresh breath. And he was saying, thank you, God, that you have brought this fish, and I was sinking down. I have no hope at that time, but you made a fish to swallow me, and I can feel that I am still alive. And I want to thank you that you have kept me alive, even though when we think that this disease has come on me, these things had surrounded me, there is no way out, but God will going to have an awesome thing for you, a thing that give you some kind of direction and give you some kind of hope. And And Jonah got that hope in the belly of the fish when he was surrounded with those things. Still, he thanks. And he says in Jonah chapter number 2, verse number 9 and 10, he says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that, I have woe." So salvation is of the Lord, and the Lord speak unto the fish, and it vomit out Jonah upon the dry land. Even God can use the vomit. Even human hate that thing, but God loves that things. When God sees us in that mode, that we cannot have those things in our life, but God says, "This is my child. This is my daughter. I have shed my blood for him, for her. So I will going to take them in my control, and I will going to bring them out from this mess, and I will going to bring them from this nasty life, from stinky life, and I'm going to bring them." And Jonah got out from that stinky life, and he started preaching the gospel. And with that preaching, you know, whole Nineveh was saved. But what a wonderful word of God is that hope that God shows us. Look at another character in the Bible, Naaman. Naaman was the leprous, and he was so desperate to get healing for his body, but came back to the prophet and showed his gratitude. When Naaman was found that I have to dip 7 times in Jordan River, he says, No, I have so many rivers in my country. I don't want to do that. But he was not obedient. But one of his servant, it's just like you and me, when we stand close to somebody and say, "My brother, my sister, this is the time that we should kneel down before our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. The healing is on your way," because he took all the disease on him. If you read Isaiah 53, verse number 4 says, "Surely he took all our diseases and all our griefs and all our diseases on him." In you go and find in Hebrew terms, it says that he took away all our pains and he died for us. You know, in Hebrew, when you find it, it says that he took all our sickness. God made him sick for you and for me, that we may have the life and a life of abundance, and we may live in healthy life, because he took all our disease. Why we are suffering with all these things? Because we don't believe and we are not obedient. We don't have that gratitude in our hearts. So today, my job is this, that the Holy Spirit leads me to tell you that we should come with the heart of thankful, with the heart of gratitude. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You know, in one day, there will be another change. Look at this Naaman. He went down 7 times, and at the 7th time when he came up, he was cleansed totally from all the disease, and his heart was full of thanksgiving. And he said, "I will going to go back to say something." And he said like this in 2 Kings chapter number 5, verse number 15, he says, "And he returned to the man of God and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, 'Behold, now that there is no God,'" look at his confession, "'there is no God. There is no God in all the earth.'" But he glorifies whose God? The Israelites' God. Only the God, Israelite God. So that's what it is. "So now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." That's the gratitude he has, that all the possessions I've got, I will going to give it to the Lord, because you saved my life. You know, that's what Jesus did for us. He saved us. We were not even in that mode that he can say, "You are my son, you are my daughter." No, but Israelite rejected him, and he says, "Whoever believes in him, in me, I will give you the right that you will going to say to my father, to your father, I will going to bring you, and I will going to bind you into the connection, and you're going to say, 'My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done as it is in heaven, should be done on this earth.'" If you have that gratitude today, if you have that gratitude, if you have that thankfulness heart in yourself, Jesus Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to touch you. Jesus wants to come in your home and share the meal with you. And you are going to have a celebration. And he will going to take off all your disease and all your desires and all your bills and all your things. And he will going to give you all the blessings from heaven. And look at the next one. The next one is Daniel. He was in his trial and he was thankful to the Lord. If you go into the book of Daniel, chapter number 5 and 6, it talks about that when he was under the reign of Medo-Persia, the decree was passed that nobody will going to pray to any god, only to this god that we have set up outside. And Daniel said, I don't care what you say. And that's what we supposed to say to our nations, to our leaders. What I don't care what you say, what you give the decree, I don't ever have to obey you. I just want to follow what God's word says. It's better to follow God's word. And what is that? Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed. Give thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel 6:10 talks about that he opens his window. You know, we have to come like that way. No, I have to set a time for the prayer. It's not just Sunday that I go into the house of the Lord. It's not that that time I'll just praise the Lord. No, every day I have to come. Every moment belongs to him. Every breath of my life belongs to him. I am nothing in myself. He's the one who made me. He's the one who created me. He's the one who gave me the breath. He's the one that I am exist. So all the existence come through him. So I want to give him a moment. And I want to say him, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you have loved me and you have given me the strength that I can glorify your name. Let's look at the Paul. Paul says like this way. He was a great hero of the New Testament. He wrote 75% of the New Testament. He was a rejected. He was a sinner. In the book of Colossians, he says, I am a chief of a sinner. If you think that I am a sinner, God said, I love the sinners, not the healthiest one, but I love who has the disease. Come to me with the heavy heart, and I will give you my heart to glorify the God. So look at Paul says, he always give thanks to God in Jesus' name. Look at Paul's gratitude, what he says in Romans 1:8, he says, first I thank my God through what? Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You know, he always thanks through Jesus Christ. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Church supposed to be doing that. I should be thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, because through Jesus, I can say and I can have approach to heaven. So look at another one. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 4 says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Look at that attitude. Look at that cheerful heart. Look at that, how he writes towards the church. And he says, we should be always thank. And thank God in the name of Jesus Christ. There are some other reference about Paul giving thanks. It's 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 7. Death was victory. That was came victory. And he says, I am so thankful to Jesus Christ that there is no more death. Because death was taken care by Jesus Christ. And he took over all these possessions. And 2 Chronicles says 2:14, and then Ephesians 5:20, and Philippians 4:6, it says, don't be anxious on those things. Don't be discouraged about all these circumstances. Come with the gratitude. Come with the thanksgiving, and I will going to take care of all these things. Look at Jesus. Before I talk to Jesus, I missed one person, and that is because it was going a really long sermon, so I try to make it short. So before I go to Jesus, I want to mention one more name, and that is the name of Mary. She was a young lady, about 14, 15 years old. And she said, Father, it's your will be done through me. If you want to use me, I am here to use. I give myself unto you. Come pour your spirit upon me, and I will deliver the Savior to the world. And I will be seen a blessed woman throughout the world. Amen. So Mary also respond with the gratitude. So look at Jesus. Jesus always responds with the gratitude of thanksgiving. Always says, Father. And look at this, Matthew 11:25. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast did these things for you have hidden these things from the wise, you know. God always hide when you come with the proud end. He always hide, but he always lean towards when you are seek. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. So when you seek, when you come into the heart of gratitude, when you come into the heart of learning, God always pour down his revelation. And he says, I give it to my babies. You know, we are his babies. Amen. So let's go to the next one. And in Matthew 14:19, Jesus was giving thanks. And he says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looked upon to heaven. And he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Look at this, the gratitude of Jesus Christ. He even says, oh, I am God. I shouldn't be giving thanks. Whom should I give thanks? I cannot do that. But he follows the commandments. What Father says, he says, Father, thank you. Look at this one. In Matthew chapter number 15, he fed again. He says, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks and break them and give to his disciple and the disciples to the multitude. Matthew 15:36, he always gives thanks. And look at the John chapter number 11, verse number 14. He said, I am the life. I am the life. He shouldn't be giving thanks to the Lord, but he stand before the grave of Lazarus and he thanks first. And he says, then he took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Father, I thank thee that you have heard my voice. And look at that, Matthew 26:27, when he was doing the Last Supper and he was doing what he says, he broke the bread and he says, thank you, Father. And he gave to, take, eat, this is my body which is shed for you. You know, he thanks God every time. And we, when we come before the communion table and we break, participate in this, and we should be thankful. This body is broken for me. And this blood is shed for me. I should be really, really into the mode of giving thanks and bringing my gratitude towards him. Father, I didn't belong to that, but this body which I am going to take today, and that is a body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ, which will going to turn my things all towards you, and I will become a new creature, and I will become your son and your daughter today. And that's what he says, take, eat, this is my body, and drink from this cup. So these are the applications that I have put together for you that we should be doing like this. Let us come with the heart of full of gratitude. Paul says in Colossians chapter number 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We are all called to be a one body in Jesus Christ. So we should become in this gratitude towards God. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. So thank. It's a commandment that God gave to Paul to write to the church, that you should give them the commandment that they should be always thankful. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9:15, Paul's write to the church and says, you should be always thankful to the Lord. So come, folks, come church together and come together and let's come to first and give thanks. And if we give thanks, he will going to take care of all our needs. He will going to take care of all the disease. Even though you get the bad report from the doctor and he says, don't be anxious. Come unto me. Give all these things to me. I am a great healer. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 15, if you go to that last verse, it says, I am the Lord who heals you. So remember that God is a healer. He is, from the beginning, he heals us. You know, when I was I was here a few days before, when Wednesday service, I was preaching on the communion get together, how we come together and we worship and break down. That is a great attitude of the gratitude that we come together and break the bread and have a communion service with us. So it's a great opportunity. Folks, let's come with the gratitude and the attitude. Let's give thanks to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of Holy Spirit and claim all the promises of His scriptures in your life. You are my healer. You are my provider. You are my redeemer. You are my Lord, my God. And you have a life everlasting. Amen. God bless you.